Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Excuse me for everyone watching, but I really don't care who's watching. And like, no, to me, like the players, us players, we just trying to win. We really don't care like how people feel about it. We trying to go in there and just win. You know, that's a tough environment, tough team, offense, defense, special team. We just trying to go there and win.
So you don't feel any different as far as the build up to this matchup?
I believe we already built up. You know, it's playoffs. It's not like we can go out there, lose a game, and then get prepare for another game. You know, it's win to go home. So we already like lit.
I think in the history of football, I've never really played against another quarterback. I've played against their defense, and just taking it one day at a time, trying to have a good week of practice, and then controlling what I can control. And it's attitude and effort, and it's how we come out here and you know, just try to put our best foot forward and try to execute on Sunday.
Those are the two quarterbacks in this matchup. They're going to finish 1-2 in MVP, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And Jason, you were hinting to us off the air. There's some interesting numbers about this matchup. This bad boy is setting up to be pretty historic.
It absolutely is. There are a number of... This is the first time in NFL history that Team X or Player X has faced a team like X or like Player X. It's absolutely nuts. And there's the CBS, who's broadcasting this game, research packet, has 10 notes that sort of explain why this is such a historic matchup. The Ravens and Bills each have 77-plus regular season wins since 2018. The only team ever with 77-plus wins and no Super Bowl appearances in a seven-season span is the 09 to 05 Peyton Manning-led Indianapolis Colts. So history would tell you the winner of this game at least goes to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Doesn't guarantee anything.
They do have to play the Chiefs.
They would have to play the Chiefs. And don't worry, well, if it's Lamar against Patrick Mahomes next week, we'll have plenty of superlatives for that matchup, too. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have the two best regular season records in the Super Bowl era among starting quarterbacks with zero Super Bowl starts, minimum 50 NFL starts. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen will presumably become the sixth playoff QB matchup between the top two and MVP voting since the merger. The last time it happened was 02, Mahomes and Hurts. 2016, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady. 2013, Manning, Brady. 2009, Manning, Breeze. And 1981, Joe Montana, Ken Anderson.
Wow.
This is the first ever playoff matchup between two quarterbacks with 40 or more total touchdowns and fewer than 10 turnovers each in the regular season. So that's never happened before in NFL history. The Bills and Ravens combined for the most touchdowns, 130, and fewest giveaways, 19, in the regular season of any playoff matchup in the history of the NFL. That's pretty crazy.
And they played an extra game than a lot of it, like, and still
more opportunities to score touchdowns, but also to turn the ball over, which the Bills only did 8 times this year. The Bills were the first team in NFL history with 30 or more passing touchdowns and 30 or more rushing touchdowns. The Ravens, the only team in NFL history with 40-plus touchdowns passing and 20 or more rushing. In the wild card round, the Bills and Ravens became the first pair of teams with 200 or more rushing yards in the same playoff round since the Patriots and Falcons both did it in the 2004 divisional round. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson rank top two all-time in quarterback playoff rushing yards. Josh Allen has 609, Lamar has 602. Derrick Henry and James Cook will be the second playoff matchup in NFL history between players with 15 or more rushing touchdowns in the regular season. The only other time it happened, 1983. Chuck Bucks' Commandos, then the Arskins, versus the L.A. Rams. Riggo and Eric Dickerson.
Doesn't mean
anything to you.
No.
That one's for Gigi.
Yeah.
And
the Diesel.
There you go.
Yeah, look at that.
How about that? The Bills and Ravens had the exact...
On a Friday, he pulled that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Bills and Ravens had the exact same point differential, plus 157 in the regular season. Bills scored 7 more points than the Ravens. Ravens allowed 7 fewer points than the Bills. It's the 7th playoff matchup all time between teams with the same exact scoring differential in the regular season.
It's a massive matchup.
It's big bone.
You throw in all of those numbers. It's historic. I'm sure CBS is tickled to death that they have the rights to this football game, and I'm very curious to see what the ratings end up being. But this is a highly anticipated game between two really good teams, two really good quarterbacks, and two quarterbacks that are in search of the same thing. And that is their first Super Bowl. Now, winning this game doesn't get you to the big game, but it gets you a step closer. These are potential legacy postseasons for both of these guys if they're able to break through. Because if you get your first Super Bowl, especially in Lamar Jackson's case where he wins his third MVP, that puts you in very, very rare air.
By the way, just to give you an update, the injury report will come out a little later, but I found it very interesting that as the media was coming in today, and remember, Jason, for people who don't know, you only get to see a certain portion of practice. You're only out there a certain amount of time.
Top secret stuff.
Yes. But as they were coming in, Zay Flowers was getting done a workout. Now, remember, the seats for this were set on Monday when John Harbaugh said that Zay could possibly not practice all week and play Sunday. Harbs met with the media earlier today. Said there's a chance that Zay Flowers will play on Sunday. I think the Ravens love their theater. I still don't think he's playing, but there's that for you to chew on until Sunday.
Yeah, there's not that. There's no meat on that bone for me.
Yeah, bone.
This is
any meat on bone.
You know what this is? This is like a WWE promo. Somebody cutting a promo for a match. It's not based in reality. It's theater. It's theater.
Pure theater.
Yeah.
Kind of like Bateman with the boot.
Yeah.
There you go.
The boot.
Remember the boot?
Yeah.
I remember the sling.
Sling ain't no thing. Yeah. Sling ain't no thing.
It's not keeping him from the dip, the dip and rip.
Yeah.
The boot is moot.
He's bending now.
Woo.
It's all Matrix. Hey, we have a huge Friday show. We're going to try to get you as ready as possible for the Ravens and the Bills. That's the Sunday 6:30 game. Remember, Baltimore Game Day on Central, the pregame show. We're live from Bingo World. Come on out and see us starting at 3 o'clock. Baltimore Game Day on Central, pregame show. Guest-wise, here on this Friday. Not a lot because we have so much to get to. We have 2 6-packs today. But at 3 o'clock, we'll get our best bets with the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, and our own Beltway Ben Hall. And then at 5 o'clock, Ryan O'Halloran joins us again this week. We talked to him last week. Last week was the O'Halloran Bowl. This week, it's the Aloysius Bowl, I guess. But he's from the Buffalo News. We'll talk about this game at 5.
Yeah. Be interested to see where Ryan is on this week-long sort of discussion debate we've been having about what can the Bills do to stop this rush attack and how far could they sell out? Do they have the personnel, even if they just want to sell out to stop the run? Ryan will certainly have some thoughts about that. We'll hear from Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, Beltway Ben, not Beltway Ben, The Bone, I'm sorry, has
audio.
We'll
hear from Beltway Ben.
Yes, we'll hear from Beltway Ben. Bone's got his audio.
Oh, do you, Bone? We get to hear that.
What do they call that? When they put
embargo.
The embargo. Yes, the embargo.
Like the Olympics.
Well done, but the embargo's up, so we're now allowed to play that on our show.
Yeah.
And how about them Terps last night? Oh, yeah. Low IQ basketball on the road.
The more things change, the more they stay the same, don't they? Coming up next, people demand it. We got to give it to them, especially playoff time. It's X Factors.
Don't know how many X Factors are left. Yeah, like monkey business.
Yeah, it could be like hopefully three. But the X Factors are next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Playoff edition of X Factors. You know the drill. You're the people. You demanded X Factors. We tell you guys that might be a little under the radar that we think could come up big in this football game on Sunday. We'll get started on the offensive side of the ball. And Jason, I'm going to start with one of your favorites. We've talked a lot this week about the beef that the Ravens bring. And I'm going with one of those beefy guys in particular, the fullback, Pat Ricard. I think that this is a big Pat Ricard game. Not to say he's going to catch any balls. He might catch one. But I'm talking about him plowing defensive backs and others as he makes holes for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I put Ricard and Jones as a combo deal. They're not going to show up in the box score a whole lot. But the number of snaps they play, how impactful those snaps are, what is the team's rushing EPA when those two are on the field? How many times is Pat Ricard leading us to the football or in misdirection? How many times is Pat Ricard plowing some poor safety or corner who ends up not really having a whole lot to do about where the ball goes? How often is Pat Ricard in the second level destroying people? What sort of adjustments does the presence of these two 300-pounders have on a Bills defense and how they allot their personnel? Yes, I think we have been remiss in not speaking enough specifically about Pat Ricard this week and the individual impact he makes on football games. And as the weather has turned and as this team has come out of their bye, it's been even more about Pat Ricard.
We're simpatico. You took both of my offensive X factors. Pat Ricard played his second highest snap share the entire year against Buffalo and had a ton of success. And remember, in that game, he scored a touchdown off a Derrick Henry fumble where he recovered it in the end zone.
Stole it from Rosengarten. Rosengarten.
Yeah, stole from him. So they're going to lean into this heavy personnel. Josh Jones, you kept hearing the head referee all last week. Number 74 reporting is eligible. I think you're going to hear a heck of a lot of that again this week, where Ravens are going to get big. That's one of their big advantages against that Buffalo defense.
And just to reset, in that first game against Buffalo, with Pat Ricard on the field, the Ravens ran 23 times for 201 yards and a touchdown. That's 8.7 yards per carry. And the Buffalo Bills this season against 21 and 22 personnel. That's a fullback and two tight ends, a fullback and one tight end. Against those sets, the Buffalo Bills allowed 5.9 yards per carry, second worst in the NFL.
My other X factor, and I do think the main thing is going to be the main thing. I think they're going to run the football a lot, but I'm going with the other stiff arm man, and that's Isaiah Likely. I as much theater as we're getting about Zay Flowers, I still don't think he's playing on Sunday. But I think there will be some opportunities for for Isaiah Likely to make some plays.
I'm going with Daniel Faalele. I do think, you know, the Bills will get creative in some of the things they do. Twists and stunts have been a problem for this group. I think he could end up being something of the weak link in this alignment. And I think Ed Oliver is an interesting sort of athlete. I like the way everybody's pretty much playing up front, but we know this group on the road, it's a different task. And on the road in a one-game season with that, you know, fan base, that will be nutso.
Mm-hmm.
It can rattle you a little bit. It can get to you. And if there's a shaky start by one of these young offensive linemen, it could snowball. Get it?
Yeah. I see what you're doing there.
Nice, man.
I said there could be some snow on Sunday. Not crazy like there being like, yeah, like in this area, but there could be some snow. You did both yours, correct, Bob?
Yeah, Jones and Ricard.
On the defensive side of the ball, I did a combo with the Chris Board, Malik Harrison. I don't know who's going to end up having to cover James Cook out of the backfield or get involved with the tight ends, but I think at some point these guys are going to have to be involved, and how they play could have a say in this game.
Along those lines, that is one of the more interesting sort of decisions and things they're going to have to monitor. I went with Zach Orr coaching his first road playoff game. He is going to have to monitor that. He's going to have to watch these Brandon Stevens matchups. If they're living in two tight ends, who we know Marlon's probably on one of those guys, is Kyle Hamilton being brought into the box? I mean, could they toggle Brandon Stevens into a little bit of a safety role? How creative are they with their nickel and dime allotments? It's a big spot for Zach Orr. And he's been rolling the dice incredibly well lately. Third down, third quarter, right? Are there things to learn from that game against a limited Pittsburgh offense a week ago? I went with Zach Orr.
I'm going Travis Jones for multitude here. We focus so much on Josh Allen this week and the fact that I'm throwing the ball all over the yard. But you got to stop the run to get to that point. So him in the middle and getting that interior pass rush as well. And he had a nice hit on Josh Allen on the fumble in the first game afterwards, too. So I'm going with Travis Jones.
He crushed Josh Allen in that first game. I was a little concerned they might throw a flag at the violence of that hit. My other one, and he's coming off a decent game, and he played well in the first game. And as Jason pointed out earlier in the week, he may have added things to his repertoire. I went Odafe Owe in this one.
Simpatico hacks.
Yeah.
Put some stuff on film that I don't think existed prior to Saturday night. And it's kind of also dovetails with the Zach Orr. Like, will he flip these guys around to try to get one of them more on Spencer Brown than the other one? We know Van Noy had a great game. We know against these guys, Van Noy had a great season. But how much does Orr toggle these matchups? And Ken Owe, is he back in that wide nine where he didn't look totally comfortable to me last week? But how much of that's going on? Can he play less stiff and more limber and athletic if he can against a quarterback like this and just remain true to his responsibilities in that sort of mush rush? Could be a big spot for Odafe Owe.
My last one's Ardarius Washington, and he was out-snapped by Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson in that first game. Marcus Williams has been a healthy scratch for weeks and weeks now. Eddie Jackson hasn't been a part of this team for weeks and weeks now. And Ardarius, you've seen it, especially since the bye week. He continues to make impact plays for this football team. We saw in that first game, Ravens dropped several interceptions in that one. And Josh Allen, I know the turnovers are down, but maybe he will throw one up for grabs. You got to come down with it in this type of game.
By the way, the Ravens were waiting on their final injury report, but the Bills have put theirs out. Only everybody else is clean except for running back Ray Davis, who is coming out of concussion protocol. He has only practiced limited this week. He's questionable. Alec Anderson, the offensive lineman who was limited on Wednesday and Thursday, was full today and has no game status. So the Bills are coming into this game healthy.
Well, from the Bills' standpoint, I'm not sure Davis is going to play, and even if he does, for me, Ty Johnson is the guy to watch in this game. Not that they can't throw it to Cook, and not that he's not fine in space, but I think Ty Johnson, his explosiveness, his elusiveness, his ability to make things happen in space, out on the perimeter, there in the horizontal passing game, whatever linebacker alignment that Zach Orr goes with, I think are going to be really challenged by him. And I think he's going to see a lot of targets in this game. And then defensively for them, Matt Milano has been talked about a whole hell of a lot here, and a lot of Bills fans who thinks he's going to be a savior or salvation. And look, if he's able to penetrate and shoot gaps and, you know, bite Henry on the ankles before he gets going, then great. But I also think his lack of size and strength, I mean, he's 220 pounds, versus this offense could be a problem. Just a couple other things here.
You got Bills, right?
That was Bills.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know what to call these, but it's a big game. Historic game, so we got a couple extras here. The turnover gods.
Oh.
Turnover. Eight,
are those like the playoff gods?
Eight turnovers all season for the Buffalo Bills. Are they due? Is there natural regression in that? Plus 24. Plus 24 turnover margin. That seems impossible. And then I also think, whichever team at the end of this game, if we average out their third down length, like if one team averaged 3rd and 3 and one team averaged 3rd and 6, like I think that's going to be a huge factor. Third down distance differential. If the Ravens are in 3rd and 3, I don't care where it is on the field, it's probably 4 down territory with their ability to run on these guys. And I think if the Bills get put in a position where it's obvious it's pass, 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 then eventually you are going to, you know, be able to knock a ball down, have Josh Allen throwing some balls away if they get too predictable. So third down distance differential.
Ravens and the Bills. It's Sunday at 6:30. Don't forget Baltimore Game Day on Censored pregame show live from Bingo World coming up at 3 o'clock on Sunday. But coming up next, some purple rain in the forecast. And we will hear some sound from yesterday. Also, John Harbaugh, we talked about at the top of the show, John Harbaugh letting the people know about Zay Flowers' status, and also some Todd Monken and Zach Orr next here on The Fan.
I think he'll have a chance.
That was Harbs today. I was asked about Zay Flowers, who, of course, the media saw getting done a workout as they came in to watch practice. The Ravens have since posted video of Zay doing the ladder drill, and Harbs says he's got a chance. Are you buying?
You buying?
I'm not.
No.
I'm not buying. I thought he looked better than I thought he would run in the ladder drill, but that's not playing football.
Could they put him out on a workout prior to the game? Sure.
They probably should do that if there really is a chance for next week.
Yeah, for sure. But I would be very surprised if he plays this week.
Let's hear.
Sounds like a bunch of gobble-gool to me.
Yeah, gobbledygook.
Gobble-gool's
a good one, too. You never heard of gobble-gool?
Yes, I know gobble-gool, but I've never heard it in that context.
Now you have.
That's what Fridays are for.
There you go. He just did the cutlass.
Yeah,
you missed it.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, Bone did the cutlass. Yeah, gobble-gool.
Gobble-gool.
You want to hear from
Getting
Monk?
Hungry.
Me too.
Want to hear from Monk?
Yes.
Todd Monken, Ravens offensive success the last time they played the Bills.
I mean, it's week to week. I mean, we're going to have to play well Sunday night, and I anticipate we will. What we did or how we did it, whatever that was 13 weeks ago, 14 weeks ago, we're all looking at the same tape. We're looking at that same tape, what we did well, what we didn't do well, anticipating how they react to what we've been doing lately, because we're a different team now than we were then in terms of how we attack people, our personnel, who we have, who we'll have Sunday night. So ultimately, for both teams, it's going to come down to what they do well, irrespective of what that game was 13, 14 weeks ago. What we do well, what they do well, because when you're really good, you have tendencies. You just do. You got to do what you do well and do it better than they do it.
So the Ravens ran all over the Bills week four, but the Bills are a much different team now, and frankly, so are the Ravens.
Well, when they faced the Bills last, the Ravens were in the midst of leaning into heavy personnel, not six offensive line, super jumbo heavy, but leaning into multiple tight ends and the fullback and running under center with the fullback as a lead blocker. And they were in a stretch where for about 6 or 7 weeks, Derrick Henry was going to be running under center 66% of the time. Two out of every three carries for him were going to be under center. And that was the case in this game. 16 runs under center to 8 in the gun. Now it's flipped. Now he's running over 60% of the time in the gun and doing a little bit under center. Derrick Henry wasn't as comfortable week five, this was, or whatever, in the pistol as he is now. It's not even close. And even in that game, when he did run out of the gun, 8 carries for 132 yards and a touchdown.
And that was also when they were having a ton of success running outside the tackles, and particularly to the left where Henry got 110 yards outside, and then in between the tackles, it was just 26 yards. And something else that was pretty interesting looking at the numbers, he only faced a stacked box in that game just 12.5%.
They were playing nickel!
Stacked
box. I mean, he wasn't even facing a real D tackle.
But to not have any adjustment.
I want to go off topic and get to more sound in a second. They can't live in nickel Sunday, can they? Like, that's what they like to do. But they're not going to do that on Sunday, are they?
I mean, the problem is this isn't like you ship in 2 350 pounders and ship out a lesser linebacker.
There's no minor leagues.
They don't have that personnel, period. They don't have a couple of two gappers who rarely play, who they're just going to lean on more here. So you could take off your better all around 220-pound linebacker for your 235-pound superior run stuffer. But when we're talking about a 265-pound blocking tight end and a 300-pound fullback and a 330-pound extra tackle, what is that? I don't really know where that gets them. Like, this isn't like if this was the Ravens, and a lot of the times they lived in a NASCAR package, or like what they were doing early in the year when Pierce was hurt, and 66% of the time it's Jones and Matabike, but you know you got Brody and Pierce sitting on the sidelines if you need them. This ain't that. They don't have that.
But you got to do something different.
Then what are those guys? What happens to those guys in the passing game? Like, I don't see great solutions from a personnel standpoint for Sean McDermott. However much he wants to coach it up, I don't see the kind of bodies he needs.
To hear more from Todd Monken, and something we've been interested in the last couple of weeks, they've been using a lot of the sixth offensive lineman. Monk talks about it.
Some of it started, you know, when Charlie was out. So that was the initial part of it. We've used it on the goal line. We've used it down there. It evolved a little bit with Charlie out. And then, you know, as you get further into the season and you want to be able to run it, the ability to use an extra lineman is facilitated by being able to run the football, be ahead of the chains, and be winning. That's a fact. It's any part of your run game is a byproduct of continuing to be able to play with physicality, be able to run it, and that's going to give you other opportunities. But I think Josh has done a great job when he's been in.
I think that was Bone's question to Monk yesterday.
Was it?
Yeah, well, he asked the question. He asked it. It might have been fed to him.
He was the facilitator.
Yes, he was the speaker.
It was like I was Monk, and yeah. I was in Bone's headset,
yes.
And I called
yeah.
the play for Bone.
Yeah, before they shut it off.
We're
going
to call this 6-0-L
yeah.
dash Bone. You never listen to anybody.
Yes.
And then that's the play call, which
yes.
means ask Monk the question about the 6-0-L.
On 2-0-2.
And you executed it brilliantly.
You did very well.
I did. And yeah. Zach Orr as well, and he gave a great answer.
We'll get there. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But what did you think of Monk's answer there?
Monk's a straight shooter.
That's it?
I believe in Monk.
Yeah.
But if I was running the Jacksonville Jaguars coaching search, Monk would be my next head coach.
But to tell you how much it's changed, they only used an extra offensive lineman one snap in that first game against the
Bills.
They
did it 12 times the first 15 weeks.
Yeah.
Then they did it 13 times against the Texans. Then they did it one time against Cleveland because it was Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then they did it 15 times against the Steelers.
Yeah. Let's hear from Zach Orr, shall we, Beltway Ben? Let's go to Cut 13. He talks about Josh Allen.
Yeah, man, you just obviously he's a great player. He's been a great player for a long time. We've gone against him, so we kind of a little familiar with his game. But, I mean, he's big, strong, he's fast, and he can throw the ball anywhere from anywhere on the field. So I think that you just see that in critical situations. You understand that he is going to have the ball. He is going to put the ball in his hands, and he's going to try to make something happen. And we're just aware of what he likes to do in those situations, and we've just been practicing, preparing our butts off to make sure that when that situation comes, we know exactly what he's going to do, and we know exactly what we're going to do.
So we've tried to make it clear this week, just because we think Lamar Jackson is the MVP, that is in no way to disparage what Josh Allen has done this year, which is, frankly, he's fantastic.
He's a transcendent football player. He's one of the most impactful football players in this era of the NFL. And he's at home, and he's got a great offensive line, and he's got multiplicity in the run game. And Look, in some ways you could say it's not the same passing attacks he's had in years past where guys had more defined roles and you had Davis and Diggs who could beat you vertically. But this is certainly, he doesn't have to force feed anybody. He doesn't have to placate anybody. Much like Lamar, he can point guard it up and make either tight end the star. He can make Shakir the star. He could make Ty Johnson the star. Ty Johnson, what, 5 catches for 122 yards against the Detroit Lions? So there's that. And I think kind of the undercurrent to what Zach Orr was saying there is we've got to be responsible in how we attack him. We can't pass rush selfishly. Our pass rush has to be connected. We have to maintain integrity and keep him in the pocket. We can't have one guy freelancing because he thinks he sees something and he ends up 6 yards behind Josh Allen. And now all he does is pop out and run for 30 yards. They've got to be connected.
It's also incumbent on the DBs to be sticky in coverage and plaster the receivers, because there's going to be plays in this football game where Josh Allen is going to extend and it's going to look like a backyard football play, but you got to keep with it until the whistle blows.
Coming up next.
I had nothing to do with that question.
No, that was somebody else.
I don't know.
Yeah, somebody else. But Bone, here's what we do know. Not only did Bone ask your questions, but don't Bone ask stuff for his own use.
And he had nothing to do with me on those.
Yeah, yeah.
The stuff for Bone Overdrive.
We didn't get to hear it until last night.
Not only did I have nothing to do with it, we couldn't even play it on our show.
Yeah.
It was embargoed until it debuted at 6:31 last night.
But guess what?
On Bone Overdrive.
Don't you fret. If you missed it last night,
we get Bone's leftovers next.
We get Bone's sound. Yeah, next here on The Fan. So this is special here, people. Bone went out to the castle yesterday and talked to some players and saved it for himself for last night's
BFA. It was for Bone Overdrive. Let's just be real.
He saved it for himself, but after being able to use it for himself, he's been kind enough to let us have some scraps. So with that, Bone, let the people know what you got.
So got to talk to Brandon Stevens.
Ooh.
Yesterday, and he was a part of the third quarter kind of debacle.
Big part.
For that defense,
meltdown.
Giving up a touchdown to Van Jefferson, the first one, Kyle Hamilton. There was some miscommunication going on, and I asked him about, hey, what went wrong in the third?
I would say, you know, just like a discipline, man. You know, good plays on their part, but, you know, I think we just shot ourselves in the foot a little bit on those plays. You know, gave them, you know, points that they didn't deserve, but that's in the past. You know, we're looking forward to this week and getting this win.
Stevens pretty much echoing Zach Orr's sentiment when I was asking him that same question. And it's a lot that we've heard earlier on in the season where it was the defense. They were their own worst enemies there. The miscommunications, guys were running wide open. And it looked like that Cincinnati Thursday night game, Jason.
It was gave me a lot of pause. It lets you know there is still an underbelly there. And there are guys who have done a really nice job for about the equivalent of a half a season, but they have not faced this pedigree, this level of acumen from their opponent. It's been backup quarterbacks. It was a Texans team that didn't really look like they wanted anything to do with them. It was, you know, the two-headed monster of DTR and Bailey Zappe. It was the shell of what's left of Russell Wilson.
Man, Jason, can we make something clear, though? He's a big part of this whole thing, though. Like, the Cleveland touchdown, the one touchdown, they targeted him every play. The Steelers game, a lot of it was him.
They've been picking on him. There's no hiding from that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a miscommunication between Wiggins and the safeties. Yeah. There was a play, sideline throw, moonball down the right sideline that I don't think you could put on Brandon Stevens. I think the safety was a little late to get there, and it was a great throw.
Yeah.
Could they lose this game and it's just because Brandon Stevens exclusively got picked on? I mean, I guess that could happen. But I think if they lose this game, it's going to be because the safeties aren't as connected and that there is a little bit of first playoff game jitters certainly for Ardarius as a starter and Wiggins, his first ever road playoff game. And I don't think it's going to be live or die with Brandon Stevens. I think there's other concerns here.
You mentioned prior to the break how this is a different year for Josh Allen. You don't have to worry about satisfying Stephon Diggs. Is Diggs getting enough targets this year? Where now they're two leading receivers, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman. Ask Stevens about that duo.
Good players, they thrive off of Yak. It's going to be, crucial on our part to, staple tackle, you know what I mean? And, get the ball off these guys and, even support in the run game. Sometimes, they get the ball in the backfield or whatnot. But, yeah, that's all it is.
Shakir in particular, Jason, where he had 821 yards on the season, 597 of those yards were Yak.
I do think, though, he's still somebody who can latch onto a ball 40, 50 yards downfield. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. But, yeah, can he also catch a 5-yard slant and take it 40, 50 yards? He certainly can. I thought he was going to be a big factor in the first game. He wasn't. I tend to think intermediate passes to him and Ty Johnson could be a real problem for the Ravens in this meeting.
Roger Rosengarten, he made his first career start way back in week 4, and I asked him, comparing then to now.
I'd definitely say week 5 to playoff football. Two different players when it comes to my game, but, in terms of comfortability, I just wanted to get better each week in, week out, and, I feel like I've done that. Still have a lot of room to grow, so going to the playoffs, and I'm really excited.
He has to be entering this game with a ton of confidence, Ken, considering the fact that who knows how healthy T.J. Watt is, but T.J. Watt's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day, and he shut him out in 2 games in the past month.
Shut out Watt in 2 games, and he held his own against Myles Garrett. Yep. So, those are two guys that are going to Canton. I think Roger Rosengarten's got to be feeling really good about himself.
I think it's kind of like the difference between the first year that Bone played cup in hand kickball.
I see
where
you're going
here. And he was the second to last pick. And then, by the end of his third season, when he was the team captain, making the picks. It's like that sort of transformation. It's a bone-like,
very similar.
Bone-like transformation.
Very similar.
It's been elevation, Holmes, with the addition of Derrick Henry.
He's just ignoring
in this ground game. And Roger Rosengarten was asked about blocking for Lamar and Henry.
It's something indescribable. They make myself and the rest of the offensive line look way better than we actually are.
That's true.
At least. So, guy like Lamar get out of sacks really easily, and then a guy like Derek can break arm tackles like nothing, and then run for almost 200 yards in a wild card game is really special. And a guy like Lamar is the best at what he does in the world. So, like I said, makes my job look a lot easier than actually.
Doubling down on that.
That is a very real perspective.
No, it is. It is.
You didn't have that backfield. I'm not sure that the whole Falele Rosengarten thing would have been as A-OK as it turned out to be. That right side could have been a problem if you didn't have two historically significant players at their respective positions in your backfield.
It's interesting. We go back to the draft, and Roger Rosengarten was drafted one pick ahead of the BYU kid who ended up starting for Kansas City early.
For a minute.
And then the whole thing completely flamed out. Yeah, it looks like the Ravens got the right guy.
It looked like Big Al Villanueva out there.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
He got big. He got the Big Al treatment.
Yeah. They were so desperate. They brought in a guy who wasn't playing. He's now hurt. Now they've got Joe Tooney.
Yeah, we got to move the guard over.
Yeah, that did not turn out well. Hey, coming up next, it is a Friday. It's a playoff Friday, which means the stakes are even bigger. We're joined by the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, for her best bets. And don't forget, quick on the trigger finger. Beltway Ben and his best bets. That's next here on The Fan.